I know my industry. I know your, I don't know your industry. I know my industry, and you know, they kind of overlap, but they just overlap on some edges.
Yeah.
So I trust your judgment, education, and experience better than mine. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we can get a good spot by spending less.
Tyler, how are you doing?
Roger, how about you?
Good. Are we supposed to be in your office?
Yeah, did you guys not get our text?
What's that?
Oh, I'm just kidding.
This actually worked better for me, but I noticed that we've already got Tyler drinking on the job. Come to that.
It's Kirkland water at home. Well, thanks for coming. We've got one missing member, Mr. Ryan Curtis. He moved to Arizona.
He did?
So he won't be joining us this evening. I want to let everybody know that.
Or the future.
Yeah. We can start our meeting. John, do you want to?
Yeah, we can call the meeting to order, and the first order of business would be to approve the minutes from the last meeting. Does anybody have any additions or corrections to those minutes? Are we on the mic?
No corrections.
I think the minutes read well. I'd propose that we approve the minutes as written.
I second it.
All right. And second. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, looks like that's unanimously, and then I'll turn it over to Tyler to bring us up to date on how we're doing.
Okay, let me share my screen here. Everybody see that okay?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'll just run you through some revenue stuff. We'll try to skip through a lot of the stuff I have. This is probably the longest slideshow I've presented to you guys. Some of it's pictures and images and information that you've already seen, but wanted to bring to you again. This is May of this year compared to last year. So we were at 275,627 for the month, which last May, if you remember, was still COVID, but we were busy. We had tea time spread apart, but it was pretty average for consistent over the last 5 years, even up a little bit. May merchandise sales, we did 33,000. Average the last 6 years prior was 8,000 a month. So we did considerable more money in merchandise sales. I attribute that to just having bigger variety and marketing and getting people up here to buy that stuff. Driving range too, we did really well, 15,000. I'm hoping this month you'll see, I think the next slide, hopefully break over a little hump on driving range money. But the fiscal year, we're at 1.6 just on golf revenue. Last year, same time through May, we were 803. So we're double what we were the prior year. Okay, now over to June. Obviously, we're not into it very. This is as of June 8th. So last June was a record year, 231,000. 5 year average was just right around 200. I have a goal of 280,000 with 11,500 rounds, which I think is probably a pretty lofty goal. June was really busy, but I think we can get there with some side hustles on the merchandise and driving range, et cetera. So we're at $58,000 right now through the 8th with 2,300 rounds. So we're ahead of even where we were same time period last June. So we're doing well. Little note there, $12,000 in credits. So that's from our North Salt Lake Open. So that's not revenue hasn't been counted for those yet. So if you really think about it, we took that $12,000 in, but they're on people's credits. So once they buy merchandise, we'll see that revenue. So it could be in June, could be July, could be later this year. Then through June 8th, we're up just a little bit more. So go back to the other one. We were up 814. Now we're up 835. So we're still cruising. Let's see. I want to just run through the building review. We'll talk about that for a few minutes. I wanted to refresh in and fill you in on what we came up with MHTN. So we've had two so far with JZW and then at MHTN. And this is again JZW's plan. They throw in some expansions, bigger deck, just kind of remodel the building. Here's that image of that facility, if you remember. It's been a few months. This is the cost estimate that they gave us, about $2.5 million. We think we might have some money for roofing. So if we were to go with that, we would save some costs there. But just working with others and getting other estimates, I think they kind of underbid, especially where construction's gone lately, on where that amount would be. I see that being well over $3.5 million, almost $4 million if you incorporate HVAC and electrical stuff downstairs. And just once we get into the walls, we'll see what we really need to do. So working with MHTN over the last couple months, they gave us two different proposals. They did a new construction building and then a partial reconstruction of the existing foundation. This is a new construction building. It doesn't show very good on this building, but it's or on this plan. But this is actually in front, the south side of the current building. So if we're going to build something new, we might as well still be able to operate. Maybe I'll send this PowerPoint later for you guys to kind of browse through and look through. But in short, cart storage downstairs, some golf simulators, mechanical rooms, restrooms, pretty basic. And then this is the upstairs. It's really just a similar, actually this, yeah, this is new construction. So pretty similar layout to what we have now. I think this is, they have it labeled new construction. This is actually the old one. So here's the images. Yeah, so really just the same layout but kind of reoriented. There's kind of some models of it outside, some new modern architecture lines. I don't mean to skip over this, but it's, and Brian can maybe fill us in on this, they gave us some cost estimates. And if you look at the bottom right, about $7 million for that building. And again, maybe I'll send this out to you guys so you can review it. I think they went on the high end with the $7 million with what they're building, but that may not be the case by the time you were to build something. I think with building costs right now, it's probably pretty close to that and probably encroaching a little bit higher. Okay, so going back to the JZW, that's why I don't think the 2.5 is quite enough. I kind of talked to you with these three earlier today, just a little while ago, about kind of where I would push us to go. I would look at what JZW gave us, take out a lot of the walls, extensions, moving the structure, keeping the structure the same and just really updating it, making it look nice and last another 25 to 30 years up here at the golf course. And then obviously hopefully plan for another remodel down the road. We're looking at that, just kind of estimates there. You can read through those, about a little over $3 million. And that is with some money appropriated from insurance and FEMA for the roof, if at all possible. So, really just focusing on the outside and the remodeling, event center, kitchen area, downstairs, car storage, the things that I think we need to do to make it a nicer facility. Any questions on that before I move along? Again, I'll send this over to you so you can review it. Here's just some kind of bullet points why I think we go this route. I think it's going to be simplified enough to be able to use. Well, one thing we found out with MHTN is the current foundation is a foundation that's meant for residential structures. So as we're looking at building a commercial space, they convinced us that what you currently have underneath wouldn't be adequate for commercial type grade materials. You would have to reconstruct, augment, and refinish some of those foundations and footings. So I think that's one reason why to maybe stick with this current structure. We're going to build something new, we might as well stick with what we have if it's going to come out the same. Hopefully extend the life of the building, build some outdoor spaces that are, I think, at a lower cost than building exterior structures. So doing covered patio, pavilions, having an outdoor wedding space, those types of things that I think will increase revenue with limited cost. One thing in reconfiguring the kitchen, prep kitchen area, so it's more usable for them, having a little bit better flow with the cafe. Allows us to keep the current tenants, which aren't big money makers, but they're, you know, $20,000 to $25,000 a year. And then adding some simulators and an outdoor pavilion. Here's just a couple images on some ideas for a simulator space. I'm thinking downstairs in the current two smaller offices that aren't being rented. We could renovate that area to having two simulator bays and a small seating area, eating area. We could separate and have for events and leagues and lessons and even memberships down there for people to come hit. The cost on those, if we were to have TrackMan put them in, it's about $45,000 each. The TrackMan, the actual software and the piece that you do it with is $20,000. So we could save a little bit by doing construction ourselves. They would fit down there, very least. Here's just a snapshot on a local company in Bountiful that's doing a simulator. It's down by the, where Cal Ranch is going. There's a Domino's Pizza down there, a little strip mall area, kind of an older section. They have a simulator space down there. They're charging memberships. They gross about $84,000 a year minus some costs. They don't do instruction. They just basically sell key fobs and have access, and they make appointments. So it's a little bit less, I guess, customer service oriented than we would have up here. Just some ideas for you on those bullet points. Just any questions on the building or anything before we jump over to some amenities? I know I'm running through these.
When do you hope to have those simulators up and running, Tyler, if that gets approved?
I would get on it as soon as possible. I'd want to have it done before winter. That'd be the first thing I'd focus on, at least on my end. We would get the roof and the exterior going as well, but for as far as interior remodels, I would start with the simulator because that would be bringing in some revenue.
And you don't see any problem with that becoming a highly successful revenue producer, correct?
No, I think we can. There's multi uses for that as far as groups and gatherings, events, lessons, leagues. You know, I think the golf courses that have these types of things do really well if they market it and treat it like a business.
Yeah, great. I like that idea a lot. That's great.
You guys?
I might just say, if we do issue some debt here, we would probably include the purchase of the simulators.
Okay. Pay them off in 30 years. How about the golf course?
Hey, I'm just a cash flow guy. If you guys think it doesn't make sense, you got to tell me.
Yeah, that would be the first thing. And then I'd probably focus on the event center, upgrading that, and then move on to the kitchen. And then what we have left over, do some other updating as far as restrooms and work on the downstairs part storage area. So with that funds, I think we could make a really nice building. And I know it hasn't been talked about, but I'm hopefully going to present some of this stuff and kind of a golf course update next week to the city council on some of these. So if we have some thoughts over the next week or changes, I'm happy to listen to them.
What is that going to be?
The work session today? Five.
Oh, is that not public?
That is public. Six and seven next Tuesday.
Tyler, I'm not being able to pick up the conversation behind you at all. I didn't.
The people behind you aren't anywhere near a microphone.
Court was just asking if the work session was, or the city council meeting was public. Work session was public. So Ken was just asking.
In fact, Tyler, you might want to tell us, we'd appreciate support
for the golf. Oh, yeah. And we will send an invite to you guys. If you can come support us on any and all these things that you support, that would be great for having you guys there to. I'm not going to say twist the arm of the city council, but kind of twist the arm of the city council. I think most people that have been up here see that there's a need to do something, and hopefully we can get some things going. You know, initially we had the JZW thing. We were gung-ho and wanted to do it. I was a little apprehensive because I wanted to make sure it was the right thing. And I think going down the new construction route, at least for me, determined that it's more than I think I want to spend, and more than I think the city council would want us to spend too. So I could be wrong. Brian might have more insight in there, but I think $7 million is a stretch.
Yeah, that's a lot. And, you know, I guess I kind of look at the building as it exists now, and it kind of fits the neighborhood. And I looked at that new building and it seemed a little more out of place maybe for the neighborhood. I don't know. Roger, what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree to a certain extent. I would say 10 years down the road, if the golf course continues to be profitable, then you look at at something more contemporary and modern like that. But I think the watered down remodel proposal looks very good. And I think everyone would be more comfortable with that, you know, with the price tag this time. I can't speak for the city council. Maybe you have taken their temperature, Brian, but I don't think they would be amenable right now to $7 million. And quite honestly, I think it would be difficult to justify that with the neighborhood, with the city, with everybody. So, you know, that might be a little high. I would agree.
Okay, so yeah, be sure to we'll put you on a, I'll email you an invite to the city council meeting next Tuesday. And then we'll probably focus a lot on the building and then just give them an update on revenues and go from there. I wanted to give you a few updates on some amenities I'm working on. The bag stands have been ordered. I ordered them about 2 months ago. They were 3 months production, and then they got backed up with some COVID things. So they're still coming. I anticipate them to be August, and that's the same with the starter podium, stand seat holders. So kind of update our driving range a little bit and staging area. Or we're going to get some sport car pencil holders. I'm working on possibly a new ball washer. We've had some issues with our old one that's 25 years old, but we may look at getting a new one if the cost is right. I'm looking at different golf carts right now for our next fleet. I actually, for those of you that want to come and play, I have an easy go lithium ion one up here demoing right now. So for those that come play, I'd love for you to try it and give me your input on it. We've got some wards and junior kids coming up on the 19th. They're doing a service project for us. They're going to clean up some of the outside of the building. And then ground lights on the exterior of the building, which I've been working on for a year. I think we finally got approval for them to come fix it. So we'll have some lights on, some flags, and sign out front. When you drive by at night, you'll be able to see where you're at. We talked a little bit about the usage of the driving range. With as busy as it is and how small it is, we're not quite seeing the turf recover as quickly as we need it to. So Weston and I have been looking at doing a temporary, it's a permanent space, but to be able to move people temporarily onto some artificial mats towards the back of the range to save some time on the grass to recover throughout the busy and even off season. And it would be helpful to get people to hit off the mats in February and March and November to help save some grass when we come out of spring. We're looking at reshaping some tee boxes. They call them turtle bags or some rounded tee boxes. We want to level out and make a little nicer. And hopefully clean out number 7, 11 Snack Shack at some point this year, whether we just use it as storage or open it back up for public to sell things out of, or concessionaires to sell stuff out of.
Hey, Tyler, does Weston do a little turf growing out? Does he have a turf green or where he grows turf that can be, serve as sod to resod the driving range occasionally, like every 3 months? Does he have a little turf farm out by the maintenance shed?
No, we don't have anything that extensive that we would use. We have a little nursery green, some grass behind the driving range, but nothing to that extent.
Okay.
You know, country clubs would do that.
Yeah, the reason I ask it, when you put in artificial mats on the driving range, there's a perception that that's really a downgrade, the perception of the range users. It's easier on natural turf and such, but where are you proposing a mix of always having both available?
Yeah, probably, once or twice a month, have them on mats.
Oh, okay.
Some other things too to help, I think more than in the past, help with growth. We're fertilizing the driving range twice a month. We're aerating it or top dressing it, which they've never done before. So we're looking at getting some of Eglin's best fertilizer, mulch fertilizer mix that they've used to integrate with some of the top dressing to help with growth. We're sanding and seeding every day. We're trying. We're just
behind people, I think, on. Yeah, that's the downfall of having a very busy driving range teeing area. But I would recommend trying to stay with natural turf as much as possibly can. A lot of the country clubs, as you're aware, will resod half of their driving range in late June and then maybe resod again the other half about August 10th or so. Oak Ridge does that because out of necessity, because when the Corn Ferry Tour comes in, they tear up the driving range and they have to resod the whole thing. And the cost to do so is about $12,000.
So I don't think we're too far off in the next 2 or 3 years from having to resurface the range tee. It's the drainage isn't very good. It's not, there's things that we need to do out there. And we're going to start with the tees and kind of move through the tees. And then once we get those done, I'd like to do the driving range. Part of that may be extending the tee even or building a smaller, lower area. West and I have talked about putting a tee box area on the back of the range for teaching and to send a few guys so we're not tearing up that main area all the time. So we're trying solutions.
Sounds like a good long range plan. Sounds good.
Here's just some upcoming tournaments. We have some corporate tournaments this week. We have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. and corporate tournaments, and we've got some the rest of the month too, so we're a little busier. These are just some of the in-house ones we're running on those. What did I want to go back to? Any questions or comments on any of that?
Would it be possible to get a copy of the remodel, the second remodel?
Yeah, I can. They just sent that to me yesterday. I can forward it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not quite done with what they're, we had them do, but he was kind enough to send me some images and price numbers, things and all those too.
Okay.
Tyler, just a quick question about the starters podium. Are you planning to put a podium on the first tee and actually have a hired starter stationed on the first tee rather than announcing people over the PA?
No, it's going to be the Deputy Green area. And I'll probably mostly have a marshal there on the weekends to send people up to number one tee. So if you're up here and working, you'll notice most people kind of park by in between the driving green and putting green. So that's kind of right by the stairs is where I'm thinking of putting them. So they can check a couple things. One, for alcohol as it's going out, and two, to make sure groups are pairing up and going up together. I'm looking for more marshals right now. So if anybody knows of anybody that's good, retired, free time, especially Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that wants to marshal, and more than happy to entertain them up here at the golf course. I need some help on that area.
Can I carry guns?
I prefer not.
What all are you looking for the marshals to actually do?
One for just a starter out there, just kind of greeting customers and helping sand and tea bottles, driving green stuff. And then the other part is just to marshal the golf course, make sure they're moving along and help customers out. Pace of play. That was the other thing I was going to talk to you about. I think my biggest concern right now is how busy we are at pace of play, especially on the weekend when I'm not here. There's not to bash on anybody here, but the 2 days I had off, we had negative reviews both those days, and I wasn't too happy about it. So I'm trying to think of ways we can eliminate those. Part of what I'm looking at with the new cart fleets are, they call them, Textron is one of them, but they're a cart fleet management solution. So you can see exactly where golf carts are on the golf course at all times from the pro shop. You can send them messages, you can advertise to them. So with the new fleet, that's what I'm looking for as part of that. And with that, we would increase cart rates, which is probably time to do again. So there's a substantial cost. And what I mean substantial, it's probably $25,000 to $30,000 more a year for that technology. But if you're increasing your cart rates $2 per nine, you can cover that really quick.
Are you looking at EasyGo and Club Car on for those for that cart monitoring system?
Yeah, all three. Yamaha has one as well, so I'm going to look at all three, and I might have those probably by our next meeting. But certainly you can, I'd like for everybody to come take a look at this easy go that we have.
At Tyler, on the technology levels, you be able to program so you can't drive with the greens and all.
Yeah, the big part.
I see more and more of that.
And to the hills up here. So I drove we just got the easy go yesterday. And not to say that's the best one, but I drove around the golf course today and automatically slowed me down when I was going down hills. I felt no slowdown going uphill. So it's just an electric cart compared to gas now. I think there's some advantages. We'd have to, install some outlets and breakers downstairs to accommodate for charging. But for the most part, I think that's the direction I'd like to go is electric. I'd want to get away from gas for lots of different reasons. But one being, I think there's some savings there. And two, I've had issues with the pump the last 2 months that's been driving me crazy, almost running out of gas. So we're having to fill them up in the maintenance shed.
I think going here too, I think people perceive electric cars as much more upscale than gas.
Yeah. So there's you know, it's going to be a considerable amount. So looking at what we've paid on our payments for these Yamaha fleet cars, we're probably going to be $15,000 to $20,000 more with the electric and the systems that are on. But it just electric, our parts are just a little bit more on gas.
But Tyler, when does the lease expire on the cart fleet?
Well, it's a capital purchase, and we have one more payment in August, and then the city owns the golf carts.
Okay, and are they is Highland willing to buy back those carts if we go with something else?
I think everybody is. I've already talked to Easy Go Rep, and he said I'd give you a good trade-in value. What's critical right now is used fleet carts are a premium, so they're paying pretty good money for them. It's going to be just analysis on far as, okay, what's the cost and how much can we sell these for? And if we break even by getting new carts, then we'll certainly look at it, doing it sooner rather than later. These carts have not been very good. I had Yamaha and Spanish Fork and had the same issues. We had to replace all the brakes, all the windshields. We had electric there and we had to replace all the batteries. They just aren't very well maintained or built very well from Yamaha to begin with.
I would definitely rate Club Car and Easy Go far above Yamaha, especially when you have a hilly golf course as we do. So
you know. Yamaha's the cheapest and there's we'll hopefully get a Club Car demo up here too. We can try. The reason I'm bringing up now, middle of the season, is because I've been told by both Highland Golf and Rocky Mountain Turf that if I want new fleet cars for next year, I probably need to get them going in the next couple months, because if not, you'll be following year.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Ingersoll Rand, which owns Club Car, and Textron, that owns Easy Go, are both horribly backlogged because they were not producing any golf carts at all for about 15 months. Their assembly lines were completely shut down, so they're really backlogged.
So we're ordered today. Their delivery date's January.
Right. Yep. So
we're on the eight ball there as far as hurrying. Working on that. That's probably top of my list right now.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
What's that question? Do the new electric carts, would they give mileage or are they more
efficient? Yeah, so he asked if the new golf carts have the yardage as GPS, so that they all of them will on those
GPS things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perception wise, it just takes you the whole fleet.
And I think that's where we want. Lots of benefits with their technology systems now. I mean, I can almost automate everything. So when they pull up the number 8T, an ad pulls up for George's Grill, and you can click here to order food. I can sell advertisements on holes for, you know, rather than having Benchcraft, which is the company that prints our scorecards and does the benches, rather than them having sell, I can approach all those guys and say, hey, $500 and put you on our automated advertising. So when you pull up number one, it says thanks for playing Eaglewood, show and tell audio, sponsored this hole or something like that. So I can cover some cost of the GPS units and their technology that they have. There's lots of different little things you can do. As far as the golf course management thing, for me, it's crucial is the monitoring where all the golf carts are, especially on the golf course. It's hard to see once you get past 1, 2, 9, and 10. You can't see anybody, and if I don't have a marshal out there, I'm just guessing where everybody's at and where they're playing. And I can, when they make the turn, when they finish, I can tell how long they played. But if there's a slow group on 3, I can tell they're 2 holes behind. I can set up automated messages that says, hey, you guys need to pick up the pace, or even send them a message over the board that says, hey, you guys need to keep up, group ahead of you. You should be on hole number 4, whatever it is. Or, you know, hey, cart number 24, you need to stay off the green, those types of things. So
the monitoring system is also very good, because if someone tries to drive a golf cart off the property, it'll lock up or all kinds of bells and whistles go off. It has a GPS chip installed, and that's, you know, it only takes one stolen golf cart and you've paid for that whole system. So
just the damage. So if you look at our cart repair this year, it's almost $5,000. You know, I know that's pennies on what we're spending and making, but the majority of that's between hole number 5 and number 6, the wall right there. And if I can automatically slow down the cart from going 12 miles an hour to 4 around that turn, it automatically slows it down. That saves money right there in the case for a good portion of it. So,
yeah.
Going down the hills, I'm honestly shocked that we haven't had more accidents with these Yamaha carts.
Yeah.
Because there, you can get cruising down these hills.
True.
But
we've had some claims.
Yeah. I'm surprised we haven't more, honestly. So if we can get some technology and carts that can help prevent some of those things, I think the cost will certainly be worth what it takes to get there. So.
What's our competition using? The thing I like about this, sorry if you guys can't hear me. The thing I like about it is it just, again, it elevates the perception to a country club environment. And if Eagle, Mountain Ridge is still using craft, and Lakeside using craft, I mean, all of a sudden we can raise our rates, and it's because it's a perceived value.
And Roger, you can tell me if I'm different. I think we'd probably be the only public golf course in Utah County and Salt Lake County with nice GPS units, because they're $30 a month per cart, so they're not cheap. And if you're not making revenue to or advertising to cover those costs, most public golf courses won't do it.
Yeah, most public golf courses are not doing it. A lot of resort courses and things are doing it now, but that's a good way for Eaglewood to differentiate itself from all others too. And as you said, people don't mind paying a little extra if they feel like they're really getting some added value for their extra dollar, you know. So,
yeah. Tyler, did you mention Stonebridge?
No.
Stonebridge has the GPS. They also have the controls. So if they don't want people to go off path, off
campus, yeah, mm-hmm.
it will stop it, and you have to back up to get yourself out of trouble. So you may want to go check Stonebridge's system.
Do you know what brand they have? Do you know what brand they have, Karen? What brand do they have?
They have the club cars.
Club cars. Okay. Good enough. Yeah.
Okay. But it's a pretty effective system. The only problem that you have is if you're really good, you can figure out how to turn it off on the cart. But we won't tell you how to do that. Oh. So, okay.
Yeah. I'll keep you up to date on those, though. I'll push as fast as we can, at least get some numbers, and then we can evaluate and see where we're at. Ideally, I'd like to get them sooner out and later if it's feasible, affordable, and if we have a good trade-in value with whoever we're purchasing cars from.
Well, if you're not spending $7 million on a building, it's affordable.
Yeah, exactly. So some good things coming. We're busy still. Hopefully we can keep going. We're going to end pretty well for the year, and we'll start over again July 1.
Tyler, can you just give a quick update overview on the Northern Utah Open? How did things go, and did you have full fields, or were you a little bit shy on the professional side, or what were the final numbers there?
Oh, so we had 160 players, 34 pros, and the rest amateurs. So we filled up both shotguns, and I closed signups probably Wednesday and let a couple people in, but it went well. Yeah, pace of play was good. And we did $12,000 in revenue from just the amateurs. And then we had a few sales as far as equipment, probably another $1,500 in golf balls, tees, gloves, those types of things. So it was a good day.
Would you say you did 20% more in revenue by having the open rather than just having it as per normal open play?
No, probably not. And only because, I don't know if you remember, we had the J.M. Thomas corporate tournament scheduled that morning. And I was only going to do an afternoon shotgun to fill in the afternoon with the Open.
Uh-huh.
I was going to limit it to 100 players in the afternoon, 30 pros, 70 amateurs. But that didn't really work out. J.M. Thomas canceled about 3 weeks before. And we did, we'd already had signups for the shotgun for the Open after. We couldn't really do a shotgun in the afternoon, so I tried to make up some revenue by opening the morning shotgun, which worked out okay. Moving forward, I would keep it right after J.M. Thomas, same weekend, and just do a smaller shotgun in the afternoon.
So you will do it again?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. You consider it successful?
Yeah, definitely will. And two, so I think that's probably deceiving a little bit on just that daily revenue. I would say, out of the 110 amateurs, we had 40 to 50 play at least one other round. And
oh, that's good. Yeah.
Which they wouldn't have come play before. A lot of them, it was their first or second or third time playing.
Do you have any idea how did food and beverage do on the tournament day? Did food and beverage do well?
They were probably down a little bit, but they sold a lot for lunch in between the events. They had play finishing, ordering lunch, and then play waiting to go out, ordering lunch. They were swamped at lunchtime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but overall, it went pretty good.
Very good.
That's all I had. If anybody else has any other questions or comments, I'll get, again, working on presenting the building stuff to the city council and working on parks and kind of move forward.
So just so you guys could hear me, just a couple of things with the retirement or the resignation of Ryan. I think what I'd ask of all the golf committee members, before we advertise it as an open seat and available for people to apply, I think it would be good if the five of you kind of that are left kind of think about people in the community that might make a good addition to the golf course. I'll ask the same thing of Tyler because he's getting to know the golf community up here. That might be a quicker way to fill the position. It might be a more effective way if we think about who we wish to appoint. So if you have names you want us to consider, you guys can email the entire committee and include Tyler and include me. And let's talk about names if people's names come to mind. And then the other thing, just to reiterate, I think it would be good. I'm sorry I didn't think about this ahead of time, but I think it would be good to have as many of you that can attend the council work session Tuesday night, the 15th from 6 to 7. Just if for nothing else, this is Tyler's, it's not his first presentation of the city council, but I think it's close to his first fiscal year report to the city council. It might be nice to have golf committee members there to support him. The council may ask questions if you're there that they wouldn't ask if you weren't there. And I think it's anyway, so I'm just inviting you as a committee, if you come, and it would be great to have you. We also serve dinner, and if you decide to come, maybe we'll try and make it a nicer dinner. I know you're all country club taste and everything, so we'll try to make it nicer.
When is this, Ken?
It's the 15th, which is next Tuesday night, 6 to 7.
Okay.
Yeah, 6 o'clock to 7.
Okay.
So, and we're meeting at the city council room in the council chambers. We're okay. In person now, so.
Okay. Ken, can I throw out on the committee vacancy? I think I would give consideration to people that applied previously that we didn't select. And I'm specifically thinking about Ron Gibson, who I think the mayor decided not to go with Ron because we already had pretty good representation right in the around the golf course. But Ron was a former, he's a former CEO of Questar. And, you know, is right. He was interested in doing it. And I think, you know.
Yeah, why our fleet of golf carts said, of course we will.
Yeah, he's, he has deep pockets. We could tap into those maybe. But yeah, so that would be the one I would throw out. I don't remember some of the others that may have been interested in being on the committee, but
yeah, that's a good point. Tyler and I have not done that, so I'll look at those names of who has applied and maybe send those around to everybody so you can look at those again. Yeah. It's you know, it's technically it's a council and mayor. It's not a mayor. It's council. It's a council appointment. But I thought it's always good if this committee can assert its recommendation position that it's been given by the council. I think the city council will appreciate that. I'm trying to say that delicately because, you know, the city council runs the city, but I think they really give weight to the golf committee, and I think you do have a very important role, even in recommending someone on the committee. And I think Ron's a great, you know, Ron would be a great choice. You know, Ron is a real sharp guy, a friend of the city, and he cares a lot about the golf course. I think that's a great name to throw in. But we'll look at everybody else and send the names around.
Thanks. Motion to adjourn? Is that what you're waiting for, Tyler?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor? Right. All in favor?
Aye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Adios.
Thank you. Bye-bye.